As I said, we're going to kind of review Proverbs, because Proverbs is something that we live daily. The guidance for our lives, godly guidance for our lives, come from Proverbs. In every area that you can think of, when you woke up this morning, you had to think about what some of your plans or some of the things you have to do today. So you have a decision you have to make. And Proverbs is all about making godly decisions with your lives. There are two kinds of wisdom. We know the Proverbs is God's wisdom. What is the other wisdom other than godly wisdom? Well, God's wisdom is common sense, but there's a godly wisdom and there's an earthly wisdom. You can have people, in fact, you have people in this world that are very, very sharp on opening locks, opening safes, stealing, conniving, wheeling, dealing. But we're talking about God's wisdom here this morning. When we're born, have you ever thought about it? When we're born, from the time that we come out of that womb, we're subjected to worldly views on everything up until the age, and actually up to your life, but in your formative years, through 12 to 14 years old, before you start making decisions on your own. So by the time we do get to that age where we're making decisions, they're mostly made on on worldly principles. Some families have God in their lives, and their decisions are intermixed with worldly decisions. But mostly, we're about 90% or 95% based. Our opinions or our decisions are based upon what we've experienced in life, what we've been told to do, what we've been told not to do. So we call that our formative years. But in order to know how God wants us to face our everyday problems, we have to go to His mindset. We have to see the world as He sees, not only sees it, but He knows what decisions have to be made and how they should be made. And we also know from reading Proverbs and studying Proverbs in the very beginning that God's sense or God's wisdom is common sense. Common sense decisions. And we're going to get into that a little bit. He not only wants us to have it, by the way, God begs us in the book of Proverbs. He actually begs you and I to seek His wisdom. I want someone, if you would, because we're in Proverbs, so I want you to get your books open to Proverbs, because I'm going to ask you to read some verses on here to show you how badly or how desirably God wants us to get His wisdom. Someone read Proverbs 1:20 through 24 and see how God pleads with us to get His wisdom. Proverbs 1:20 through 24. First one to have that, I'd like for them to read if it would.
Wisdom found a dog in the street, in the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple one, will your love be simple? Will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at your reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded.
She cries out. God tells you that His wisdom cries out to us, begging us to come in and hear and listen and take heed of what He has to say. Someone go to Proverbs 3, 13 through 18.
Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof in fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her.
Now, where else in the Bible does God give you so many promises and blessings and begs you, says, cries out, I cry out in the street from you, that I want you to come and get my wisdom? And if God is that fervent about expressing his need and want that we get his wisdom so that we can, so that we can be better Christians, we can be better children of his, you know, why wouldn't we want to live a life with all these blessings? I'm amazed, and I'm one of those people, by the way, that like to wake up in the morning and if I read a scripture, it'll be out of Proverbs, and I'm surprised at how many times something will happen in that day that Proverbs gave me the answer to. So that means that the book of Proverbs covers everything that happens in my life, and so therefore that there's no area in there that I would pick out that I wouldn't recognize readily when it came to me and when it was so obvious to me. If we do all these things, as I said, God has many blessings he promises. This is the only book in the Bible where God has condescended to come down to our level and talk to us personally on every aspect of our life. He touches on it in all the books. He's in all the books. But this one, he just, it's almost as if he's sitting right here. He said, let's discuss life. You woke up this morning, you made this decision. Here's how you should take care of that decision. You had this conflict in your life. This is how you should have taken care of that. You had a neighbor you met today. This is how you should have responded to it. You have conflict in your family. This is how you ought to. It's almost as if he's giving you a daily lesson on how to go through this life with the least amount of conflicts, with the least amount of conflicts, you're going to have a happier life, you're going to have a healthier life, you're going to have greater sleep. He even promises you to have sleep on it. You'll be able to sleep more confident if you'll get into his aspect of how to take care of these affairs in our life. In order for us to fully understand wisdom, a lot of people have a lot of knowledge. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom?
Wisdom.
Go ahead.
I was going to say wisdom comes from God.
Knowledge comes from God too, by the way.
Knowledge is information. And wisdom is how you use it.
How do you use it? You can have all the facts in life in this world in this head noggin up here, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to use it. There's been many a so-called brain, high IQ people in this world that have lived a godless life. Many of them. And some of them have even rebuked God, said God didn't exist, so-called smart people. What level of IQ do you need to... No, I'm going to reword it. Is IQ or intelligence ever mentioned in God's wisdom? So what does that tell you? All of us, me, you, all of us can understand what God's telling you. You don't have to be a whiz kid to get into the Proverbs and understand what he's talking about. All of us can understand it. I'm glad to know that because it's... I know something has to be knocked in my head many, many times. And you know that's why Proverbs repeats itself so many times? Even from the very first chapter to the end, it's a repetition in there of some things in the first chapter. God recognizes. We need to have some of this stuff knocked in our head. We're not taking it important enough when we read the first time. So he repeats it over and over and over. And the more he repeats it, the more important it is that we recognize and try to keep it as part of our lifestyle. I've got, and this is where you might want to have a pencil, I've got some of the words, if you're going to go, if you can refer back to Proverbs as a guideline, you need to understand the Hebrew meaning of some of these words, because it's not like you and I would think. And so I want to go back and give you some of these. If you don't understand the Hebrew meaning of these words, then you're going to miss some of the value or some of the points that Proverbs has in it. And I'm going to give you some of the words. Wisdom, of course, when wisdom is used in here, it's the ability to use the knowledge. Always remember that. Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge. Instruction is always, sometimes, is used throughout Proverbs. The word instruction. Whenever that's used, and it's used 26 times, by the way, in Proverbs, it's to chasten. It's to correct you. It's to discipline you. When you use the word instruction in there, it's not like giving you methods of how you do something. It's used in the context God's chastening you. He's giving you some instructions that you need to, guidelines to follow. And you know, one of the greatest problems that may exist in this world now today is that we don't follow that principle of instruction, which means discipline, and it starts with our kids. We're not disciplining our kids as we've been instructed to in Proverbs. Proverbs, on many occasions, is used the word strike, to physically punish. In services, Dr. Spock came along with 50 years ago, 60 years ago. We've shied away from that. We think, oh, you need to do this, and Johnny, don't do that. Go sit in the corner, Johnny. But Proverbs over and over has told us we need to spank our kids. We need to keep them in line, because when they get old, you know, we have problems. I often say it, it's better to have a tear in your eye disciplined in them when they're young than have a tear in your eye when you're their parent and they're in jail. It's much better, because more good will come from you disciplining them when they're young. You can't discipline. Some of them you can't discipline. When you, yeah, Brian.
Discipline is a correction of an action.
Huh?
It's a correction. Correction of that, of a bad action or stuff like that. Well, so if that bad action continues to happen after you, with whatever discipline you're doing, it's not working. So that's what the wrong with, I think, with the world today is, oh, it'll be okay. Just tell them what to do and taking away discipline, and it takes away its ability to correct the action, correct the misbehavior. If you're not seeing a change in the behavior,
so I have to, when I get up in the morning, I wake up at 6 o'clock. I try to catch 6 o'clock in the evening. One of the first things that popped out on there was that they showed that only a 10-year-old boy stole a car, and they had pictures of him flying through schoolyards or playgrounds with kids jumping out of the way, and said it was the first time it's happened. It was the third time this happened. He stole my car at 10 years old. I'll tell you, 10 years old.
I think when people don't really discipline their children considers it more of an option than instruction.
It's hard for us to comprehend this. They'll love you more, because then they know where they stand in your life. If you let everything slide, you know, how do they know that you're mine? Everything's hunky-dory, you know. But if they know that you don't want them to do things because it's going to bring greater harm to them later on, then they'll love you for that. But I've been told that Dr. Spock is the beginning of the end of our mindset of disciplining children in this country. But you can't blame it on him. It's a parent. It's a parent. And this, plus it gets into where Satan has taken over our mindset. All right, the word prudence. Whenever the word prudence is used quite often in Proverbs, that's a foresight, a forethought of future consequences of your action. When you do things with prudence, then you've thought about the future, how it's going to end up, not just what's happening right now, but what's the consequences of this down the road when I do this or when I'm involved. The word simple is used. It's never used with the context of slow-minded. It's always used in the context not a moral person, a sinner. He's simple. He's a sinner. He's just not a moral person. Never intended to reflect on someone's intelligence. The word knowledge we covered. That's any kind of information. Anytime you know something about something that's factual, that's knowledge. But how you use that knowledge then would want wisdom. Discretion is one of the words quite often used in the in Proverbs. And that's the way you have the respect for what is desirable and appropriate. There is a right time to correct someone, and there's a bad time to correct someone. You don't correct someone where they're publicly embarrassed. You take them aside and you would talk to them and try to reason with them. So you got to have discretion when you want to do that. You might have the right idea, but the timing of it, and maybe the right words that you want to use, which requires discretion. And then, of course, the learning is in there, and that's the ability to execute, the ability to practice, the ability to apply something that you have knowledge about. That's learning. Sound counsel. Whenever sound counsel, you see that in Proverbs, that's a recognition of God Almighty. If you want sound counsel, the first person you go to, the first one you go to, is God Almighty. Recognizing He's Almighty God, He's the Everlasting Father, He's the Prince of Peace. First, get counsel. You get counsel, and the Proverbs will encourage you over and over to get counsel from others, by the way. Other principled Christian counselors. But first of all, you go to God when you want to make a decision about something. And then you get to the word understanding. Whatever that word is used in there, it means common sense. In our terms, common horse sense. And the godly part of it is God's wisdom. Whenever you see the word understanding of that. And what's the beginning of wisdom, by the way? Very beginning, for you to get wisdom, God to get wisdom, what's the beginning of it? Fear of God. But then that fear of God is not a fear of retribution. That's an awesome respect. So when they tell you to fear God, that's you have an awesome respect for Him. You respect Him above any and everything. Any other person, any other will, anyone out there. You recognize that He has the holiness we need. Now I want to talk about some areas, the common areas that we face. And I'm one of those things as many times as I've gone in and out of this book that I don't remember chapter, verse. If you ask me something, where was this found in Proverbs? I'd be hard pressed to tell you where it was. I could find it for you fairly quickly, but I'd be hard pressed. But these are some of the things that we face on a common basis that I have found helps me on a daily basis when I try to get through my days. every day we have temptations to do or join the sinful world. All of us are not bored of that. We have temptations. Proverbs tells you to stay away from any sinful act out there of any kind, not just specific kind, but any kind. He says to choose your friends wisely. You choose your children's or your grandchildren's friends very wisely, because they're going to affect their life for the rest of their life. They're going to be a part of it. I'm going to go back to Proverbs. We're in there. I want someone to read in chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, and then someone to look up 13 and 20. Proverbs 1, 10 through 19, and Proverbs 13, 20. I want those verses read, if you would.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of his owners.
All those things that he mentioned in there on a daily basis, said, Kimmy, I want to tell you something about this guy over here. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. I want to tell you what he's done. It's someone enticing you into sin. Mm-hmm. It could be in the way of let's go and bow over here. You know, let's sneak over here and have a few drinks. It's someone enticing you to get in that situation. Hey, I got a new joke I want to tell you. You don't like this joke? Anytime someone wants to entice you into something that God does not approve of, is a temptation that God wants you to avoid. But you've got to recognize, though, they're just as bad on a daily basis as you just read there. Where they're going to steal something, they're going to put it all in the pool, and we'll all go. So choose your friends wisely. And then we always want to remember on a daily basis, we always want something from God. We always want something from God. We always want something. But then you always want to remember all the blessings that God brings to you and gives to you, especially if you have wisdom. I'm not going to read all these, but I'm going to just tell you, you write them down. You can look them up. Whenever you get down in life in the morning, oh boy, what a bad day I'm having. Just, everything's going wrong. Proverbs 3:2. Proverbs 3:4, Proverbs 3:8, Proverbs 3:13-17, and Luke, and I want someone to turn to Luke, Luke 2:52, because that even carries over into the New Testament. This is all Old Testament scriptures here, but you'll see in Luke 2, verse 52, where it even comes back to Jesus. Who's got Luke 2? 52.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
He grew in wisdom. So Jesus was wise anyway. He's God. But he grew. His wisdom expanded by keeping God's word. Next topic I want to touch on that we're based on, particularly the older you get, you'll be faced with this, is the loaning of money or co-signing notes. Proverbs covers this thing to the this subject to the point there should be no doubt in your mind when you leave here today what your reaction to that should be. Basically, the godly principle on that, unless you are able and you're willing to lend money without expecting repayment, it doesn't mean that someone can't should not pay you, on their part should not pay you back, but unless you're able, financially able to, and unless you're willing to lend money to people who are not expecting it back, you don't lend money. You don't lend it. If you want to lend it, then get it in your heart that I'm going to lend it, but don't expect it back. Be nice if it come back, but don't expect it back. The one thing you don't do ever is co-sign. And I'm going to give you some verses on that. So you, if you need to refer to them, or if you need to explain your position on that, Proverbs 6:1-5, if you want to go to that, Proverbs 11:15, and there are many more on that subject. But those two will get your mindset right, that someone wants to wants you to co-sign a note because they've got themselves in trouble. How are you supposed to react to that? If you remember when we went through Proverbs, we ran across many, many scriptures in there about being lazy. Many scriptures in there being lazy. I can't copy all these things down. I've been going through about, I've been spending all my time writing scriptures down. But you want to refer to Proverbs 6:11, 10:4-5, Proverbs 10:4-5, Proverbs 12:24, and there are many more. So if you're trying to encourage your children, or if you're trying to encourage a fellow member to do their share, it's good to remember that God does not like laziness. We're wasting our time, and we're wasting time that we could be contributing to Him. There are many scriptures in Proverbs that tells you when you are faced with a problem, a decision, any decision, and we covered it on this a little bit briefly just before, you must and should seek counsel. First one you want to seek is God's counsel on any decision you're getting ready to make. Even how, God, how should I respond to this accusation, or how should I respond to this offense that's been called to me, or these words that have been spoken to me? Or, I need a new car. God, what kind of car would you suggest I get? First of all, He would suggest one you can afford. you don't want a Cadillac, you're going to afford a Chevy. But it's all right to go to your friends, godly friends, and ask them, say, you have a Chevrolet over there. What do you think about that? I'm thinking about getting another car. Seek counsel on these things before you go out and buy something that, with that much expenditure, that has to affect the rest of your expenditures with your family, if you commit that much to it. So you want to be careful. You want to always, and He encourages, God encourages you to seek in the multitude counsel, deep counsel, deep help. And I think I gave you 11:14 and 16:2. There's just two of those for that. You run across somebody that talks all the time. You get in a conversation with them, and all they want to do is talk. Or you might find yourself in a position where you're doing all the talking. I want someone to turn to Proverbs 10:19, and let's get this straight. First of all, what a lot of talking will do. Proverbs 10:19. Want somebody to read that for me.
In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise.
In the multitude of words, what's not lacking?
Sin.
Sin. When you hear somebody babble on and on and on, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get some lies in there. And it tells you right there, you're going to get some lies in there. If you want some more verses on that, by the way, it would be 11, 1 through 9, 12, Proverbs 12, 22. What are you doing if you're talking all the time? God says, few words. Let there be few words. Ponder over what's been said, over what you say. Listen to what they say. Speak out and give them an answer with a few words. Don't get in long-term arguments with anybody. I kind of paraphrase this proverb here. My arguments against my brother were very convincing until he had a chance to speak. How many times has someone come up to you, I want to tell you what Joe did to me over there. I want to tell you how bad he mistreated me. You can convince that guy to think Joe's the worst guy in the world. Until Joe said, wait a minute, I didn't say that. I didn't mean it that way. He knows that. He's distorting that. I always think about that when I think about gossip. Because you can, on one-on-one or a friend, and most people want to be your friends if you love. They want to listen and won't believe you're telling the truth. But then you've given them the wrong word until they, if you don't let the other guy listen. What is the old saying? His side, her side, and the truth is somewhere in between. Always remember that. Because gossip is fed. That's what feeds gossip. It goes on. That's in, by the way, that'd be Proverbs 18:17 if you want to be able to refer to that. I paraphrased it when I listened to you a little bit.
Proverbs what?
That's Proverbs 18:17. But it's the same context. The book of Proverbs goes on and on. I've often thought maybe I would take topics and then go through Proverbs and try to write down every one that touched on that. I start off with that, and I found that I just had a big book of Numbers. And I was going here, and I had to go back all the way back to chapter 1 to answer something that was brought up in chapter 18. It was frustrating, so I just stopped it. And I think God mixed it up and repeated it for purpose, and that's what the guy said, I'm a knucklehead, and they're seeking this knucklehead up here, you know. So I stopped that after going through about a half a notebook. I figured I couldn't find it anyway. Even if I did it that way, I probably wouldn't be able to find it. I certainly can't remember them all. It's the way I can quote them verse, chapter, verse on it. That's a summary of what we all know. We all go in that class. You know what we've gone through. It's good to be reminded that we live on a daily basis, and Proverbs is a daily base book in the Bible. All books in the Bible are, but this is one that touches on the everyday happenings in the Bible. And I thank God that he condescended to the point that he come down and just tell us, and like sit down beside you in a conversation and say, hey, let me tell you how you ought to handle that. Tell you how it all and all he wants us to do is listen to him and learn. Take it. Thank you for the class. That's kind of.
Amen. Amen.